Hallelujah. Why don't you clap your hands again to an awesome God? It was really easy to see when the attention span just all of a sudden switched over. Goes from 1 minute, everybody lifting their hands to heaven, enjoying a good song, worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden ladders come through the door. I told you we're going to have a great time with God here tonight, and I feel as though the Lord has laid something on my heart. And I hope it blesses. I hope that lives are changed. And you know what? As I've always said, when I'm praying in the prayer room before service even starts, I'm telling the Lord, I say, God, if one life is changed tonight, if one individual comes to the altar and makes a commitment, if one person is filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if one person is baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus, if one family can be brought back together, if a young person can be brought back to a right mind, if backslider comes back to the house of God, hey, one, it's worth it. It's worth it. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. I can't stop talking about it as to what God is going to do here so soon. Has anybody else been bumping into a bunch of backsliders as of late? I know I have. I did it just today. Ran into a young person that I hadn't seen in a long, long time. And you can see it all over their countenance. Just when you begin to talk to them, uneasy in their spirit, knowing where they should be, knowing what they're missing out on. And I told them, I said, look, I said, why don't you just see this new building as a new start? And I believe that there's going to be an influx of backsliders that are going to come to this house. I hope you believe it with me. I hope you're excited about seeing it with me, because it's going to happen. And you know, Brother Tony, I believe that when they walk through those doors in the new sanctuary, they could come here before we get the new sanctuary, but I'm talking about if it happens when we get over there. When they walk through those new doors, I see them walking through the doors and saying, you know what? A fresh start, new building, a new life. Let's do this thing. And God's going to begin to restore what the enemy's taken. God's going to begin to rebuild what the enemy's tore down. God's going to give them another view on life. God's going to give them another vision. God's going to develop a hunger within them that's greater than the one they had before they even left. You believe it? Are you excited about it? I know it's Tuesday night, but I'm excited about what God is doing. Tonight, I want our focus is going to be placed on the outcome of a choice. Each and every one of us here are faced with choices every day. Sometimes minute, very, very small, and sometimes they are life-changing. Oh, also, if there's children that need to go to the classes, you go right ahead and do that. But sometimes, life-changing. Just a simple choice, and we've all been faced with it. Sometimes some of us may have went the wrong direction and it changed our life and it hurt us and it left us with scars of a fight and scars of a battle, and we carry it still to this day. But we see it as a constant reminder of the blessings of God, and we use it as a testimony as to what God has brought us through. And it keeps us on the straight and narrow, but we're all faced with choices. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn real quick to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be reading verses 14 through 19. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 through 19. It says this: I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. God's going to reveal where your mind is. You're going to see it. Everybody else is going to see it. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Why? Why would he say that? Because we're the body of Christ, right? Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. I want everybody to recognize that in these verses, God is doing something so powerful. He's letting us know that a correct choice will lead you to the high place that is in Christ Jesus. A correct choice can take you to another dimension. A correct choice can take you to another level. A correct choice can take you to another mindset. A correct choice can take you to places that you can't even imagine. But if a correct choice can do that, then a wrong choice can also take you to places that you never thought you'd be. Young person, a wrong choice can take you to a place, get you in a position that you told yourself maybe just today, oh, there's no way I would ever reach that point. There's no way I would ever think like that. There's no way I would ever act like that. There's no way I would ever allow myself to do that. A wrong choice, one wrong choice, can get you in that position. I wonder if we can go to the Lord in prayer just one more time, and I'm going to endeavor to do my absolute best to do what the Lord has laid on my heart here tonight. And what I'm doing is, many of you probably remember a message that I preached a long time ago, Choose Your Ladder. And we had two ladders up here. While I was studying today in the Word of God, and I just kept on bouncing back to some of the points that the Lord revealed to me in this message. And so I pulled that message out, I began to look at it, and I revamped it. God added some things. And so I want to preach to you tonight, or rather, just talk for a little while here tonight on a subject simply entitled this, Step Up, It's Time to See. Step Up, It's Time to See. So let's go to the Lord in prayer right now and ask God to speak to each and every one of us. Lord Jesus, we thank you, dear God, once again. God, we're so grateful, Lord, for the very presence, for the prevailing presence that's here in this place, oh God. Lord, I'm asking you right now, dear Jesus, to open our minds and our hearts and our eyes, dear God, to see, dear Lord, and to hear, dear Jesus, exactly what you would have us to, oh God. Speak to us, dear Lord, and change us, dear God, for the better, and we'll give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody with a loud voice, shout amen. Amen. You may be seated. There are two different types of high places, or in definition, choices that people experience every day. Two different choices that people go through every day. One, a worldly choice, and two, a spiritual choice. A worldly high, a spiritual high. A worldly high is based upon status, lust, drug addiction, popularity, and the list goes on and on. Things that make the flesh feel great, but the spirit feels so weak. It's a place that, if not watched or controlled, has in past times become the fate of many spiritually. This type of high doesn't only sink its nasty hooks, however, in today's youth, but also today's adults. Somebody, look at your neighbor real quick, or the person behind you, if you don't have a neighbor, and just simply say, step up, it's time to see. If not controlled, but rather ignored, it begins to place many into a mindset of believing it must be okay because, hey, it feels so right. Or it feels so good. But I'm here tonight to tell you that if you have found yourself in this position, in this worldly high, that you are in a high place, okay, that's correct, but it's not the calling of Christ Jesus. A simple addiction, a little rebellion may feel great right now. It may make you feel like you're on top of the world. The same goes with a little or a simple misstep, same as a mistake. But somebody say it again, step up, it's time to see. What we have to recognize is that ultimately you will receive your reward or your prize in the high places. There's always an outcome when you reach the top, but don't associate every high place as being the right place. You ever wonder why people on drugs are excited about getting high? Let me tell you, it's because it's a gross misrepresentation, misrepresented lie from Satan himself as being the same as a Holy Ghost filled high. Do you remember the time that you came to the house of the Lord and the message was being preached and the Lord began to pull on your heart and draw you to an altar, and as soon as you made your way to the altar, God filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the very first time? Do you remember the feeling that it was when you felt that for the first time? Do you remember the overcoming power and the ability that you felt to be able to leap over every wall, to be able to tear down every obstacle, to be able to face any enemy and be able to say, no, that's not who I am anymore. I'm changed and I'm being used by Almighty God. Do you remember that feeling of when the Holy Ghost first came upon you? Let me go ahead and tell you, there is nothing that this world has that can compare to what God has. Can anyone here tonight stand to the fact that I once was lost, but now I'm found? I once was blind, but now I can see. It's time for the Church of the Living God to recognize the fact that a worldly attitude, hear me, young people, a worldly attitude can't save a worldly individual. Does anybody here remember the day, as I said, that God filled you with the Holy Ghost? God didn't give you a pill that day. He gave you a passion. He didn't give you a just feel better call. He gave you His all. The world offers you a ladder just like God offers you a ladder. I've seen in times past how many have not been afraid to place a foot on the first step of a worldly ladder. They get caught up in the rush of popularity in the world and not with God. And then when that begins to feel good, there's a next step, and then a next step, and then a next step, and then, of course, another. Popularity over passion, party over passion, and disregard over the thought of God being scarred. And many tell themselves, once again, it's okay, these are just the first few steps, and my family said they don't even understand why pastor preaches against this anyway, so it's got to be okay. I mean, look at how far it is away from losing out all the way anyway. We need to remember that Olympic runners started out as babies crawling. It's time to recognize that when you take the first step, that means you are on the course of choosing your ladder. Somebody say it again, step up, it's time to see. Say it, step up, it's time to see. I can't help but feel that there is someone in this house tonight that feels they are getting away with a steady, inconspicuous climb of sin. But let me go ahead, brother or sister, and tell you, it's not worth it because you're losing your sight. Yeah, it feels okay now, and it doesn't seem like much now because you have been tasting honey in this house for so long that maybe you've forgotten what God brought you from. The past horrors have somehow become blurry because of your view. I'm asking somebody here tonight to remember what God brought you through, to remember what God brought you from, to remember how God changed your world and basically flipped it upside down. The enemy thought he had you, the world thought they had you, and then all of a sudden you found yourself in the presence of God and you walked away from this place knowing that, hey, I am an overcomer. I am more than what the world thought I was. I'm asking somebody to remember. To remember the view you had when you received the Holy Ghost, and immediately God set you up on top of the mountain and you could see over every obstacle. There are young people in this place today that have never been in a true lost or hell-bound situation because they were raised under the wings of the Holy Ghost. But some are finding themselves in a place where they could start losing it all because of the view. Mom and Dad, it's not time for you to forget now. It's not time for you to allow yourself to slip with your kids. It's not time for us to forget what God has brought us from. It's not time for you to lose sight of where God is trying to take you. It's time to recall testimony. It's time to remember what God has done. I'm thinking right now, and while I was putting this message together earlier today, I had these two ladders, and I had a young person in here, Brother Caleb. He actually came in early, and he was helping me out. And I had these two ladders, and I was just sitting here on this platform. I was saying, God, I need a message from you. I need something from you. What would you have to share with your church? And I had these two ladders set up, and I was looking at them. And the Lord began to speak to me. I like using visual concepts because it's hard to forget it when you're looking at it. And I began to think, I was like, you know, you remember, we all remember the story. It's been told so many times. Started out when we were in Sunday school. David, when he stepped on the battlefield and Goliath was out there and he had his big mouth, he was running, he was hollering, he was scaring everybody else. David was basically there just to feed his brothers. And then as he stepped on the battlefield, you remember, he looked at his brothers and he said what? He said, is there not a cause? His brothers were on a ladder that everybody else was standing on. His brothers were on a ladder to where they thought, hey, I'm in the Lord's army and we're used of God and we've had battles that have been won time and time again in the past. I'm on a ladder. This is a good ladder right here. I got a view. I can see things. But yet they were still hiding behind rocks. Yet they were still looking at the giant that was out there and they were satisfied with saying, hey, you know what? I can't do anything with that. One man, I can't do anything with that. That's a giant. And they were satisfied with that ladder of no view. They were satisfied with that view that was blocked by what the enemy was trying to tell them. And then all of a sudden, here comes David. Walks on the battlefield. I can just imagine, has a slingshot in his back pocket and carrying food for his brothers. And he could have so easily just said, hey man, here's your food. I didn't train for this. And I don't have a sword. I don't have armor. I don't have a shield, nothing. I didn't study for this. I've never fought in the army. I beat a bear and I beat a lion. But good grief, that man's got a spear. Look at that. Take your food, I'm gone. Here you go. Imagine, funny. We can think about it now, it's hilarious. But he didn't do that. David immediately began to think, you know what? There's something beyond this. There's a future that is at stake here. You see, as the church, as the people of God, we need to recognize that our actions don't just affect the now, but they affect the future. You hearing me? Our actions don't affect what we're facing right now, but rather they affect our future. Our children, their children's children. Anything and everything in the future. David stepped out on the battlefield and he saw his brother standing there on that ladder and they thought they had a good view, as I've already said. But then David decided to do something different. He said, you know what? I know what God can do because he's done it for me time and time again. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to step out here and by faith, I'm going to get a better view of things. Stepped out on the battlefield and said, oh my goodness, we only knew I don't do heights. Made you nervous, didn't it? Stepped out on the battlefield and said, if I fail, y'all would laugh, wouldn't you? That's terrible. Mike, you need to hit the altar, brother. David decided, he said, you know what? I know things look rough and I know everybody else is hiding. But there's something that is deeper. There's a cause that's at hand here. Did these guys set this thing up right? Because my knees are knocking, buddy. It looks good? Good, okay. He said, there's a cause. There's something that's so far more important. And I've got to be able to look over the obstacles that everybody else is stuck at. I've got to be able to look over the things that everybody else is basically visually impaired because of. And when he stepped up to that next level in trust in God and faith in God, what happened? He became victorious. You see, too many times, today's generation, this is Bible study night, so we're going to go slow. We're going to take our time. We're going to go very slow. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Where God says, lo, I'm with you always. I stand on his word. All right. Too many times, though, I believe that us saints of God, we find ourselves in a position to where we say, hey, you know what? I can't get any further. I possibly can't achieve anything greater. And I've got to a point in my life to where this is just the end of it. This is what I'm going to be. And God, you could never use me because of what I've done. You could never use me because of what I said, of where I've been. And we immediately allow ourselves to reach the end of the line as high as we can go with God. And we tell ourselves, well, that's it. I'm blocked now. I can see a short distance and I can see the miracles and the signs and the wonders, but I just can't seem to see past a few years down the road. I can't seem to see my children living for God. I just can't seem to see my children possibly being a pastor, being a youth pastor, being a Sunday school teacher. I just can't seem to see the things that I'm doing now, how they're going to affect then. And what do? We allow ourselves, hey, Bo, help me out, buddy, real quick. Stand up. You scared of heights? You're not good. Climb that ladder because I'm not doing it again. He's going to stand up. Thank you so much, brother. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Climb that ladder. Oh, you checking, double checking that. Bo, I'm preaching, man. We allow ourselves to reach the top of that ladder, the top of that point. And then when we get there, what do? When we find ourselves in a situation, we immediately begin to say, hey, Pastor, what do you see? What do you see for my future? What do you see? What should I do? What do you see? And the pastor, he calls you on the phone or he calls you in the church. He says, hey, I need to talk to you for a few minutes. Or he gets behind this pulpit and he begins to preach. And sometimes what he says may even step on our toes. Sometimes what he says may even hurt us. Sometimes what he says, we might think, oh, my goodness, that was straight to me and that just hurt. I don't know how I'm going to take that. Not any of us, because we're Landmark. We love our pastor. Right? Amen. We love our pastor. I'm talking about other churches. That's right. So several times we possibly hear what the man of God says and we're thinking, oh my goodness, why do I need to change that? Why do I need to act like that? Why do I need to do that? It's because the pastor is able to see something. The pastor, one day, long time ago, made a decision in his life that, you know what, God, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to pray however long I need to pray. I'm going to fast however long I need to fast. I'm going to read my Bible as much as I need to read my Bible. And what did it do? It allowed him to be able to step up. It allowed him to be able to step up to another level to where he can see exactly where we are being led to. I'm glad that we have a pastor. I'm glad that we have a pastor that loves the Lord, that can study the Word of God, that knows exactly where to lead the church. I'm excited that we have a pastor that is a vision that's beyond these four walls, that's even beyond those other four walls. I'm glad that we have a pastor that's unafraid or unashamed or to contact us and to call us and to say, hey, look, this is what needs to be done. This is where you need to go. This is what you need to say. This is what you need to do. We've got a pastor that loves us. We got a pastor that loves our young people. We got a pastor that loves the children. We got a pastor that loves mom and dad. We got a pastor that's going to take us to heights that we've never seen before. But my question to you is this. If the pastor can reach another level by calling upon the Lord, by praying, you can come down, buddy, by praying, fasting, reading his Bible, and saying, you know what, God, knees knocking, I see you. Asking the Lord, God, I want you to take us somewhere. I want you to use me. I want you to allow me to see beyond my own opinion. I want you to allow me to be able to see what beyond what I've allowed myself to be blocked with. And then all of a sudden, the Lord take them to another level. Why can't we, as the people of God, this ladder is wanting to fall. Why can't we, as the people of God, just decide that, you know what? Steps take you places. We know that. If one step in the world of, hey, you know what? I just, this is fun. I think I'm going to do it. Young person in school, nobody else sees. Hey, this is exciting. I think I'm going to do it. If steps take us places in the world, then steps can take us places in the church. Steps can take us places spiritually speaking. Prayer can take us to another level. You see how in just a shorter amount of steps, I'm already reaching a higher point than where I would in the world. You see, you get to a point in the world, and then all of a sudden it stops, and that's when all the hurt, that's when all the pain, that's when all the anguish, that's when all the drug addiction and all this nonsense just begins to manifest itself in your life. You get to a point to where there's nowhere else you can go. And it seems like your world is completely falling apart. But then on the other hand, you come to the house of God and you say, you know what, a little bit more prayer, a little bit more fasting, a little bit more Bible reading. Pastor, what you got for me? Just go ahead and tell me. I'm not going any higher. There's more steps, but y'all can just imagine it with me. Pastor, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to say? Where would you have me to go? Pastor, whatever you need me to do, I'm just going to adhere to what you have to say, and I'm going to understand that the Lord is using you to carry this church. What would happen? What would happen if the people of God would begin to understand that, hey, a few steps can take me places higher than I ever thought I could go. A few steps can take me places in a different direction that I never thought I could go to. You see, right now you may think that, hey, this is as good as it's going to get. This is the best it's going to be. I could never be used more than where I am right now. Listen, there's so many more steps that we have yet to see. There's so many more steps that this church has yet to see. You see, if we're going to see a church of 1,000, that means we got to break out a bigger ladder. If we're going to see a church of 2,000, that means we got to get an even bigger ladder than that. If we're going to see our schools being turned upside down, then you know what? We got to step off of what we've already seen, because what we have seen has been great and it's got us places, yes, but I'm not done climbing. My question to you is this. Are you done climbing? Are you finished climbing? Or are you willing to see greater things than you ever thought possible? I know I am. There's something special that happens when you, thank you so much, Bo, you can sit down. There's something special that happens when you allow yourself, or you tell yourself, you know what, no more my will, no more my desire, no more opinion, just whatever the Lord has for me, that's what I'm going to do. I don't know if I've ever shared this really with the church before, but I'm going to do it now. It's Bible study night. Everybody okay? Everybody good? We're having a good fun time. We're making a good point. I was working for UPS. I got out of high school and went to work for Lowe's, worked for Lowe's for just a little while, figured out that wasn't for me, mainly because I didn't know anything about construction and or anything else in that matter. People come up to me and ask me for help, and I say, go talk to that guy. And so I had to get out of that pretty quick. And I immediately went to work for UPS, and while working at UPS, made a lot of contacts with people because people were coming in, they were shipping off their packages. I got to meet people that lived here in Lexington I didn't even know existed, you know, and pretty cool people. And all of a sudden, one day, I'm behind the desk, and I'm working on shipping off this package, and a man walked in, and he said, hey, I need some help with creating some flyers. I said, okay. And he said, well, this is what I need. And I said, well, what kind of business you got? He said, well, I'm an outfitter. If anybody knows what that means, that doesn't mean that they dress you. It means that they find you hunting spots to go to. If anybody knows me, that's my cup of tea, all right? So I said, awesome, man, me and you, we're going to work out good. And so we started working, and I was helping him out with his flyers and his advertising. And we got real close, his wife, my wife, and we would actually end up meeting places to go eat in town. And I was helping him out with his videoing and all of this stuff. And his advertisement was global. And he would tell me about these hunting trips that he would go on. And Brother Todd, he was like, oh, man, I just got back from an elk hunt over here, and we had a great time. And I was just drooling as all this stuff that he was doing because I love to hunt so much. And one day he called me up. He said, hey, I want you and your wife to meet me over here at this barbecue restaurant. So we drove down there, and we met him. I thought he wanted some help with another flyer. And lo and behold, he did something. He said, Carson, I got a proposition for you. I said, yeah, what you got? He said, would you like to go work for me? I said, you talking about doing like what I'm doing now? He said, no. He said, Landmark, this is no joke. He told me, he said, we've already got a house in Ohio. He said, it's sitting there. It's got your name on it. He said, all I need you to do is go to Ohio and represent this company. You'll hunt. Everything, all expenses paid for. Your house is already taken care of. We'll video you, and we'll pay you more than what you're getting paid here right now. Ooh, we got quiet. I heard somebody say it. Wow. Immediately the enemy behind just started saying, ooh, that's what you want. That's what you've been looking for. That's what you love to do. That's exciting. And all of a sudden, on the other hand, I began to see faces of young people. And I began to remember young people that had come to the house of the Lord. And I saw young people, while I was talking to this man, I saw young people in the back of my mind that were coming to the house of God without parents, without family. And I saw young people that were going through addictions, and they were just on the very verge of gaining their victory. And I saw the enemy again trying his best to tempt me and get me to walk away from what I knew exactly God was wanting me to do. And I looked at this man, and I said this. I told him, I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And you know what he told me? He looked at me, he said, you telling me you're going to turn it down for the youth group? I said, yes, sir, I am. I said, but I would really like to maintain this friendship. And still to this day, I have yet to hear from him again. But something special happened when I decided, you know what? My view right now of 8, 9 young people was a good view. We were having revival in the youth, and we were seeing great things happen. We were having a good time behind the house around the bonfire, and we were excited every time we told them that a youth group was going to grow. But my view, I realized, wasn't exactly where it needed to be, and it wasn't finished yet. And I found out that as soon as I made that statement to that man, that God began to allow me to step up to another step. And before I knew it, I started seeing a youth group begin to grow. I saw young people coming back to God. I saw young people being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I saw a church that was growing. And I saw God beginning to anoint, God beginning to use. But those steps would have never been obtained if I wouldn't have allowed myself to say, you know what? Nothing else matters. Just you, God. Nothing else matters. Just you, God. Whatever you would have for me to do, whatever you would have for me to be, oh God, allow me to take some more steps. As simple as this Tuesday night Bible study is, my question to you is this. Are you allowing God to take you to another step? Are you allowing God to take you to another dimension? Or are you satisfied with where you are right now? I hope you're not, because I know I'm not. Are you satisfied with the opinion that you have? Are you satisfied with what you've learned and what you've seen and what you've been a part of? Or do you want to see greater things happen? I don't know about you, and I hope I'm not alone in this. Do you want to see young people that are sitting over here and right here begin to preach the Word of God and begin to go into their schools and to tell their friends at school that, hey, look, there's more to life than this. There's more to life than sports. There's more to life than a new car. There's more to life than any of this. You got to come to the house of God. That's a great thing, yes, but are you with me in this also? Do you want to see other people that are within the sound of my voice right now going to their jobs and beginning to win their managers, beginning to win their owners of their stores, beginning to win their co-workers and bringing them to the house of God? Do you want to see Landmark reach those next steps? I know I do. And the only way that we're going to be able to reach that next step is if we allow ourselves to walk away from what we have already witnessed and say, that was great, that was wonderful, but God, I want more. God, I want to see greater things. God, I want to step up higher. I want to do more. Yes, I've been praying. Yes, I've been fasting. That's awesome, but I can do more. I can read more. I can reach out more. I can do more home Bible studies. I can do more teaching. When the outreach team gets together on Saturdays, there's not going to be just 5 or 6 show up, but we're going to show up as a church body, because God, we're on a mission. We've got to do this thing. We've got to find these people, and we've got to get them to the house of God, because the day is coming. The time is coming I believe with all of my heart that we are living on the absolute grace of Almighty God right now. I believe with all of my heart that we are living on a time right now that is just borrowed time. We've heard pastors say it. I believe that the Lord is just standing back and he's saying, no, you know what? One more minute, one more day, one more church service. Maybe they'll get it. Maybe they'll understand it. Maybe that backslider is going to be shaken. Maybe they're going to see that where they're at right now isn't exactly where they need to be, and they'll make their way to the house of God. Just wait one more minute. Don't sound that trumpet yet. We'll do it in a little bit. I know we should have already done it and we're past time, but we'll do it in a little bit. I believe right now that the Lord is waiting on a select few. I believe right now that the Lord is waiting for a mom or a dad or a young person to say, you know what, enough's enough. I'm tired of doing what I've always done. I'm tired of being the way I've always been. God, I'm ready for a change. God, I'm ready to be used by you. I'm ready to see things that Landmark has never seen. I'm ready to witness miracles that I've never seen. How many would like to see the blinded eyes open in this house? How many would like to see those that are lame begin to walk? How many of you would like to see deaf ears become unstopped? Landmark, I'm not talking about things that are just happening in foreign countries. It can happen here right now if we would allow ourselves to get a vision that's outside of what we've just always seen and allow ourselves to see over our obstacles. You see, it's the devil's big business to try to put a wall or a barrier right in front of you and say, you know what? You can't see anything past this because there's nothing else past this. It's much like those horses that you see carrying or pulling a carriage or pulling a wagon. You see those blinders that they put on their sides even. Why do they do that? They do that because if they saw what was beside them, if they saw what was to their left, they saw what was to their right, maybe it would attract them and they would try their absolute best to get over there to it. The devil sometimes tries his absolute best to put blinders on us, and he just wants us to see what the world has. He wants us to see what the world has to offer, what the enemy has to offer. But if we would just take the blinders off, we would begin to see the miracles that God has for us. We would begin to see how God can bring joy back, how God can bring peace back, how God can change your mind, how God can restore your soul, how blessings can be poured out, how financial blessings can be poured out, how sickness will have to flee. There was a place in the Word of God that was named Bethesda. And in this place was a pool. And around this pool laid a multitude of impotent individuals. Now, there came a certain time in the Word that says when an angel of the Lord would come down and stir the waters. And the Bible says that whoever could get in the pool while the waters were being troubled, they would be made whole. This story caught my attention as I began to ponder on the reason for the stirring. And number one, I came up with two reasons to why it was necessary for a stirring. Number one, those that were deaf needed to see something moving to know it was the right time. And number two, those that were blind needed to hear the sound of the water rushing to know it was also the right time. You want to know why a little bit of stirring, what a little bit of stirring will do in the house of God? It will let people know that are hurting, that are lost, that are addicted, and that are afflicted, that now is the time. If I could just get to that church, I know I will be made whole. There are people that have become spiritually hearing impaired. I want us all to stand. There are people that have become spiritually hearing impaired. And they need to see people not only talking the talk, but walking the walk. And there are those that have become spiritually blind. They can't see any sign of hope. The only hope they have is to hear the stirring in this place. That stirring today is your praise. That stirring today is your worship. Church, it is paramount that we stop playing games. It is important that we stop looking at one step as being less important than another. I want everybody to hear this real quick. I was thinking about this today, and it is so true. Destination is easy to gauge. It's easy to see. Destination, you can look at it and just say, hey, that's where I'm headed. It's easy to gauge. All you have to do is look at the direction. If I begin to walk this way, chances are, I'm going to hit that door. If I begin to walk this way, I'm going to hit this door. If I go that way, guess what? I'm not going to end up over there. I'm going to hit that door. Same thing applies to us as the people of God, spiritually speaking now. Destination is easy to gauge. What's the direction you're headed? Which way are your feet walking? Which way are you looking? Which way are you spending most of your time putting all effort and everything into? Young people, you can't expect to be on one ladder and expect family possibly to be on the other. Mom, Dad, you can't expect to choose the ladder that fits you best and choose the ladder that is most comfortable and most suiting and allow and expect your children to be climbing a ladder reaching for the higher calling that's in Christ Jesus. Each and every one of us here tonight, if we can be honest with ourselves, can truly see our direction clearly. Honestly, we're almost done. I know we've had fun, but I wanted each and every one of us to see this. If we can be truly honest with ourselves right now, we can see our direction. Not make an excuse. Hear me. Not saying, I know I'm doing this, and I know I'm doing that, and I know I'm over here, and I know I'm over there, but I love the Lord. I love Jesus. I got a Bible in my home. Don't know where, but it's there. I listen to Caleb. I gave the other day when they spent 20-something odd hours collecting money. I gave my $5. So, the Lord knows my heart. If we can be truly honest with ourselves right now, I just wonder. Ask the Lord. Ask yourself. What's your direction? My desire for each and every one of us here today, and I believe it's yours as well, is that our direction be to a greater revival. Our direction be to our families living for God. Our direction being that, you know what, God? I'm going to give every ounce of life's blood. I'm going to give every prayer, every minute, every time, every second, oh God, to not worrying about what this world has to offer, because this world's going to just, it's going to fade away. It's going to disappear. Maybe sitting in a service on a Sunday night and then Tuesday night have a prayer request going up so that the family can feel comfort and peace in their time of loss. Hey, we're not all exempt. Our day's coming. But I can't think of anything greater to do than to live my life aimed for a direction that is going to place me right smack dab at the feet of Jesus Christ, to where He can look at me one day and say, you know what? Well done, my good and faithful servant. But here's the other thing also. When I get there, I don't want to be there by myself. I want to be able to walk through those pearly gates with my children in my hands. I want to be able to walk through those pearly gates with my wife standing right beside me. I want to walk through those pearly gates being able to follow my dad and my mom and their families. And I want to see Manny again. I want to see Poppy again. See Brother Harrison. You know, I got to this point where I was sitting here today and I was looking at these ladders and those names begin to go through my face. And Jeremy, I just about called you. I said, hey, can we put a slideshow up of some faces? I wanted to see Brother Harrison. I wanted to see my grandpa, and I wanted to see Nanny. I wanted to see Brother McCann. I wanted to see all these people that are standing now before the throne of God. Life that was dedicated to God. Yeah, they went through hard times. Yes, they faced terrible things. Yes, people even said bad things about them sometimes. But you know what? They didn't allow that to make them say, you know what? I'm done with this climb. I'm done trying to do what I should be doing for God. I'm done trying to see over obstacles and just say, you know what? I'm satisfied with where I'm at. I'm stopping right here. I'm done. No, they said, you know what? I've got a destination to get to. I got a place to get to. And you know what? Tina, do you know that all of those prayers, all of that fasting, all of that time dedicated to God that Nanny did, you're standing there right now because you had a mom that did that. Oh, I wish that we could see their faces. I wish we could see exactly what they're doing right now. Randy, and you know, I've just thought about this, buddy. Randy took me over not too long ago to his dad's grave, and it's on the outside of a church where he was buried, in a burial plot there, and right at the door of this church is where his tombstone is. And right smack dab in the middle of that tombstone, you know what it says? It says Acts 2:38. Randy, Where would you be, buddy, if he didn't decide, you know what? I've got a life to live, and I've got to engrave something into my future. Yeah, you're going to face things. Yeah, you're going to stumble when you walk. You're going to bump into walls, and you're going to hear things that possibly you don't want to hear, and people are going to be against you. People that you thought would never be against you. You're going to suffer persecution for what? His name's sake. But you know what? There's a ladder to climb, church. There's a ladder to climb. Is Cooper in here? Is Bristol in here? They're not. I want to do this. Somebody's got to see this. I want to get this point pushed across. Jeremy, come here real quick, man, if you don't mind. Aiden, come over here, buddy. Holy Ghost is on Aiden. It's been on since the beginning of the service. I want y'all to see visual. I'm telling you, visuals are just, they engrave in your mind. I want you to see this, okay? Jeremy, listen. All the prayers that you've invested, all the time that you've invested, all the countless hours. I love this. All the countless times that he's been in the prayer room, all the times that he's prayed with his family, all the times that he's gone home, and even without Pastor pushing him, he said, you know what, Aiden, we got to talk to the Lord. And I know he's done this. Jeremy, I want you to put a foot on that ladder, and I want you to hold Aiden's hand. Take a step up. Keep going. Get about right here, and Aiden, I want you to take a step behind your daddy. Do you see what's happening? Dad goes a little higher. So what happens to the son? What happens to the daughter? They've got to go higher. Why? Because they're following mama. They're following daddy. They got to get there. Aiden's going to be blessed of God. Why? Because his dad and his mom decided a long time ago that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He can't help but be blessed. Do you see it? He can't help but begin to see over obstacles. Why? Because his feet are already off the ground. I want to talk for just a second. I know you've been standing, but we're getting somewhere in the Holy Ghost right now. I know that there's people here right now that maybe your children aren't here right now. You know what? You keep climbing that ladder. Let me tell you why. Because as you climb that ladder, one day, I'm not going to say if, I'm going to say one day when it happens, when they come home, they're going to look up and they're going to say, Jeremy, or rather, Mom, Dad, I'm in the middle of this and I just can't see over it. What do you see for me? Which direction should I go? I can't see past this right now, but I know I'm going to follow your direction. One day they're going to say it. One day they're going to say it, Mom, Dad. They're going to say, I got to follow your direction. Which way do I go? What do I do? What do I say? Where do I go? And you're going to be up in the high places with God. You're going to say, look, honey, if you just go over there just a little bit further. No, don't go that way. Don't go that way. There's a trap that's set for you. There's a trap that's waiting for you right there. Go around it. Go right. Yes. Get there. Mom and Dad are going to be able to direct from that high place. All this was said to get us to this point where we're at right now in the Holy Ghost. I just wonder, can we lift our hands where we're at? And with our eyes closed, oyster tight. I want us to begin to be honest with ourselves right now. I want us to begin to be completely honest with ourselves right now. There's a future that's at stake. There's a future that is at stake. Your future. Our future. And God, there's absolutely no other place that I want to be. God, I'll climb this ladder. I'll step up to those high places, oh God. I'll be more. I'll do more. You see what's happening? There's unity that's happening in this place right now. There's a mindset right now that's changing. That's saying, you know what? It's not about what I have to face. It's about what I'm going through. Let's take a few minutes and do this right here. Let's lift our hands. Let's cry out to God. Mom, Dad. Come on, young people. Cry out to God right now.
No place I'd rather
as a family unit. Together. God, we're going to come. God, we're going to step up here, Lord. We're going to step up so we can see. Oh, God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I wouldn't leave this place without getting exactly what I needed from God. If you want to come to the altar, the altars are open. But if you want to make an altar from where you're at, you go ahead and make that altar where you're at. I just want to get everything that I can get from God right now. God, change me. Lord, change me. My mind, my heart, my spirit, my soul, oh God.
Awesome.
Come on, somebody. Dig a little deeper.
I want more of you, God.
Come on, Mom. Come on, Dad. I want you to see it. I want you to see it.
No place
I want you to see it.
No.
Take them to that next level. Take them to that next height. So that they can
no
be overcomers also.
I'd rather be in hearing your love.
My
hearing your love.
Hallelujah.
No place I'd rather
hallelujah.
Be.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
No place I'd rather be.
Oh, there's a beautiful thing that's happening
no
right now.
Place I'd rather
I see parents praying with their children.
Hearing your love.
I see young people crying out to God.
Love.
There's a commitment that's
no
happening.
Place I'd rather be.
Hallelujah. Kings chapter 6, I'm going to read this and then we'll be done. 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 17 says this, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. He's talking to a servant of his. Came running to him and said, oh my goodness, what do we do? Master, what do we do? They're everywhere. We're surrounded and we're just a small band. What do we do? What do we do? And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes, opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots, of fire round about Elisha. And when they had come down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. And it was so. I believe that the Lord has opened up some eyes. I don't feel a spirit of condemnation. I feel a challenge. I feel as though the Lord has grabbed us by the hand. He said, this is what I've been waiting for. Let's reach that next level. Let's reach that next level. But I don't want it to just be a select few people. I want it to be each and every one of us together. I want us to climb that ladder together. And you're going to get to where, once you got that vision, like you received here tonight, that when the enemy comes up against you, Jeremy, you're going to be able to do what like the man of God did. It's so funny. He reversed the curse. They were blind spiritually speaking. And then before it was all said and done, the enemy was blind physically speaking. You're going to be able to face your enemy and you're going to be able to say, nope, not today. The Lord's going to smite them with blindness. And lo and behold, you're going to be able to walk your life and not have to worry about the enemy being able to touch you, being able to beat you, being able to find you, because he's going to be blind to your every action, because you're going to be surrounded by the presence and the glory of Almighty God. Do you love what you feel in this place here tonight? Hallelujah. Well, as funny as it was, I hope it blessed you. I really do. Why don't you shake somebody's hand? Tell them to step up so you can see. And we will see you Saturday night prayer. God bless you.